Welcome to Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays.
Hi, and welcome to another exciting episode of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. My name, as always, is Kyle Rosenthal, and we are joined today by two folk, two of our regular
folk.
First time I've ever been accused of that.
That's right, yeah. Well, hence the reason why I had to correct myself. So, welcome, Mr. Finley and Mr. Bork.
Good afternoon.
Or good evening.
Or good morning.
There you go.
And I would just like to say that I've been called abnormal lots of times. So if you prefer to call me that, you go right ahead. Irregular, that I'm not so great with. But, you know, abnormal, I'm fine with that.
Just call you Abby for short.
That's right. Abby something.
So, yes. So, well, welcome, gentlemen and Brian. How are we this week?
I'm well. I cannot complain. No one listens when you do anyway, but no. Keeping very busy, got on top of stuff. So, I'm a happy man.
That sounds like who's actually accomplished something, unlike you, Kyle.
Well, actually, yeah. I've literally spent pretty much all of this week so far traveling.
Pretty much since the last time you and I spoke on recording, you've been traveling to try to return to your fair home city.
That's true. Like I ended up having a really bad set of connections. I left Thessaloniki on Sunday night, so late Sunday afternoon really was when I left, and I got home to Australia on Wednesday at 10 was when I landed in Brisbane, Australia. So
I want to clarify something here. A, you had a planned layover in Athens.
I did, but the reason I had a planned layover in Athens was because they're from, like, the carriers that I could find to get out of Thessaloniki that was a direct flight from Thessaloniki to Athens, left once a day.
Right.
And the one flight a day arrived after the flight from Athens to Dubai. So therefore, regardless of when I left Thessaloniki, I would have had to have had a one day. So it was, it ended up being, I think, it was 18 hours from when I landed to when I would leave. So yes, it was planned, but it was planned
due to the flight schedules.
Because it had to be that way. And then when I got to Dubai,
now,
I
landed be careful here, yep, because sorry. I heard the story about this, that they include a hotel for long layovers. Is this correct?
So in Dubai, yeah, absolutely. So I didn't spend, like, when I was in Athens, I didn't spend 18 hours in the airport, and also didn't spend that same time, like, didn't spend a long time in Dubai. But yeah, so with Qantas and Emirates, have a thing called Dubai Connect. So if your layover is, I think from memory, it's longer than 6 hours. It's either 5 or 6 hours, but if it's longer than that, but less than 24 hours, then yeah, they'll actually put you up in a hotel and transport you to the hotel and from, including food and that sort of thing. So.
That just kills me. I'm like, airlines I fly will throw things at you as you enter the airplane, and you are cradled in this lap of luxury of, here, sir, allow me to take you to this hotel.
Yes, this is true. I will say that because it's a hotel that's like it's one of the airport hotels. Mm-hmm. And this don't take this as a complaint because it's not because you're right. An airport hotel of any kind is much better than nothing. Than being stuck in a terminal for an extended period of time. Because I've done that before as well. Like, you know, I've been in LA trying to get to Boston when my flight just kept on being delayed and delayed. So I ended up being in LA airport for 12 hours. Uh-huh. So, you know, I've I've felt the pain.
Yes.
that's involved.
And you've also felt the relief.
That's true. That's true. Finally, I'm being released from an airport. But
there is one benefit of that as well, to be fair, because after you spend that many hours, especially in LAX, you're so grateful to get on the crappy U.S. domestic airplane, you don't care.
that is very true. Now,
I must defend my countrymen here. Not all of our airlines are horrible.
Really?
Yeah, really. There's one or two service.
No, that is true. That is true. I have been on a couple of the brands that have been good. But no, because it's an airport hotel and it really is. Like it's a transit hotel. Like I don't think anyone would ever go to Dubai and go, you know what, I'm going to intentionally book myself into into that hotel because it's convenient to the airport, etc. Unless they were just in transit,
right?
Because it's not close to the downtown area and that sort of thing. Like not that anything is really a long way, but you get what I mean.
I do.
The other thing is though because you would have thought that there would be like it's very bare bones. Like, you know, basically there's a bed, a shower and a toilet and that's about it. You know, as I do. So all right, I'll jump on, do a bit of work, try and keep myself awake while I was in Dubai because I arrived at midnight. And although I was leaving at nine in the morning, it was like, you know, it's then a 14-hour flight from there to Brisbane, from there to Sydney, which is where I went. So therefore, you know, I kind of wanted to try and stay awake so that I was really tired by the time I hit the really long haul flight. And so I thought I'll do a bit of work, jump on. There were some questions and that sort of thing that I had to answer, etc. But after walking what felt like a mile to get to my room, I then found out that in order to be able to connect to the internet, there was no way to pay for it online. You actually had to go back down to the front desk and buy a voucher to be able to then log on. It's like, I don't want to do that. It's just too far, and I've taken my shoes off, you know.
And they're way over there.
Well, it was more that I just, you know, like it was I was trying to keep myself awake, but I wasn't that committed to it.
And did you?
No, of course not.
He promptly fell asleep.
Well, I thought you mean did I wander down and get the internet access? No. I did manage to keep myself awake for a period of time, which does lead me to the first of the technology discussions for this podcast, which I think is a new record that we've actually done it.
Well, we haven't done any of the logistics that we should cover before. Can you wait that long?
Sure.
Okay.
So yes, you're right. We haven't done any of the housekeeping. So I will start. We'll kick those off. Which is that if you do want to reach us on Twitter, probably the best way to reach us directly. We've got a number of followers now. We're up to 27 followers. There you go. And that is at Tuesday TTT is our Twitter. Otherwise, you can subscribe to the podcast. And I do have to have a massive shout out to the one, the only James Finley. For actually bringing us to a regular posting of our podcasts.
A semi-regular regular posting.
Well, it's far more semi-regular than it was previously. So
much more irregular prior to this.
Yes, exactly. So that's really good. But if you want to get those, it's trainertechtalk.net is where you can go to subscribe to our podcast and download the podcast there. So awesome work with that, Mr. Finley. If you want to be able to reach out to any of us individually via Twitter, you can certainly do that. Brian, what is your Twitter handle?
That would be at Brian Bork, LODS.
And Mr. Finley?
That would be Jay Finley NZ.
And or you can reach me at Windows PC Guy. And I should also make mention of our sponsor for the show, which is Learn On Demand Systems, which you can get to at learnondemandsystems.com. Right.
So now, what was the first of the technology discussions that you want to have?
So one of the things, in the past we've talked about, like, you know, like the technology while you're training, or while you're traveling, sorry, and yes, things to look for. And we've discussed, you know, hey, take tablets, blah, blah, blah. That's the thing with this. Now, this is, I think, something that we haven't mentioned, but something that I find really, really useful is a charger.
Now, wait a second. Wait, before you continue this story, I would like to say that I had a conversation, and I'm going to come back to this in my little bit of technology that I want to talk about, but I had a discussion with somebody who referred to you, Mr. Yes. Kyle Rosenthal, as the gadget guy, which I took umbrage to, because I, at the North American MCT Summits and Ignite pre-show, or the MCT days or day zero, I have always done a bit on here are a bunch of new gadgets and gizmos that you should be aware of. And so I kind of said, hey, wait, I am the gadget guy. And then I thought about it for a second. I'm like, you know what? I can't really say that because I do not travel internationally nearly as much as you do. And so you do actually, by necessity, have to bring more gadgets with you. However, every single time I have seen you, there is one charger that you did not bring that you desperately need. So what is up with that?
No, actually, so no, this isn't that I forgot something. This is just simply that there are, you know, like, it's important to make sure you do take chargers with you. And as well as that, so in the case of the Dubai Connect, so Dubai Connect, as I said, fantastic service. And as you know, you've pointed out, like, there's nothing really you complain about it, that you can complain about it, but it does mean that you have to be a little bit aware of the preparation for it. Such as this, that one of the things that I wasn't aware of when I booked it was that when I checked my luggage in Athens, that I actually would not see that luggage again until I got to Brisbane.
To Sydney.
Okay. Yeah, because I had to collect it in Sydney. But it does mean that I had an overnight that then meant that I had no, I'd asked this question just as I was, like, when I was checking my bag in, she goes, like, the lady that was checking me in said, so I'm going to check it all the way through to Brisbane, but you have to collect it in Sydney. It's like, but I'm going to be in Dubai for a night. Do I not get my bag? She's like, no.
No, but you don't.
But can I have it? No. So, you know, so there's that mad scramble, as you know, as you're at the check-in desk and thinking, what do I really desperately need to have when I'm spending that time in Dubai? And so you have to get kind of, like, quite, you know, concise about what you want to take, because you don't want to, well, I didn't want to be, you know, taking my bag apart, trying to shove it into my smaller carry bag that I was taking, you know, like, taking in, because I didn't have, like, a full carry-on luggage bag, etc. So I did have everything, so there was no, I wasn't missing anything that I actually needed, apart from socks. That was the only thing I didn't grab. So I grabbed this. You can buy socks if there was a shop in the hotel.
Theoretically, there have been many times I've been able to buy a charger as well.
Yes, true. This is true.
But so charger can be expensive.
Yes, well, and something that's just temporary. So it's just, so one of the things that I make sure that I do have in my carry-on, which I did in this case. So therefore, this is why it's, you know, important to make sure you are, you know, careful for these things. So I've got an international adapter, which is it's a barrel-shaped international adapter, which will go to any plug and take any plug. But in addition to that, it has two USB high-speed charger ports, or USB high-speed charge ports, that are built into the barrel of it. So there are some that I've had in the past where you can do one or the other. So you can either use it to charge USB, or you can use it to plug, say, for instance, a laptop into. So that's one thing. The other thing is that I travel now with a high capacity battery, external battery as well, which has multiple ports in it. So therefore, I can actually charge up my, you know, say, for instance, the iPad, the plus a phone, because they all seem to go very flat, very quick while you're traveling, flatter than quicker than what you would normally assume. So it's just that being cautious. Make sure that if you are taking technology that you actually do take the time to be prepared for if things do go wrong. So that was my charging story.
Excellent. So did you keep everything charged?
I did keep everything charged, and so that's the other thing is actually balancing out. So there's a mutual friend of all of ours, or colleague and friend, Ted Carter, who gave me a piece of advice once, which is charge whenever you can. So I do that. Like, you know, I'm not one of these people that has my, you know, has my phone and I go, right, well, that'll be okay. I'll leave that be. If there's a chance to charge the phone or charge a device, plug it in and charge it, because, you know, you never know. You might get to the point where you might have times when you can't do that. So say, for instance, while I'm on the plane, I always plug my phone into the plane adapter so that I'm not using my battery, my external battery, just in case. But as well as that, making sure that, say, for instance, I was balancing up, charging up the external battery, because I'd had to use that the day before when I was in Athens to charge the phone. So you've got to kind of balance. So if you have an external battery, make sure you charge that when you can as well.
Okay, so now this leads me to two questions, and you guys may not have this quandary. You're foreign people to these United States, but there is something I've noticed, and I'm a fairly faithful flyer of Delta here in these United States. And I actually am one of those people who doesn't complain too much about my airline. I sometimes complain, A, about the prices they charge me, and B, about the times of their flights from my home airport. But when you live in the middle of nowhere, you have to kind of expect that. But I don't know if this is true in international travel, and you'll have to tell me. When you travel on Delta flights, there are two different types of charger. There are the USB standard charge, just usually a single plug in the back of the seat in front of you. And then the other is, in a seat of three people, there will be two plug-in, like AC adapters, but only two for three people.
Yep.
Do you arm wrestle for them? Because that's the policy that I'm going to start implementing, I think. Because if I can put my weight behind it, I think I can win some arm wrestling competitions with some of these passengers. But seriously, when I get into the plane, I'm like, all right, look, I'm getting on this plane first. I'm plugging into one of those adapters right now.
I mean, it's funny you should say that, Brian, because I'm pretty sure, you know, on Qantas and Air New Zealand, they've just put the wireless charging mats across all the tray tables for everybody automatically, right? Right, Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely. That's standard. That's standard now. It's been standard for a while, I think.
I'm amazed. Charge? Is that with the koala bears running on the little treadmill down in the belly of the plane?
I've got to correct you there. They're not bears.
No.
They're marsupials. They get very upset if they get called bears.
Oh, really? Exactly. How upset do they
absolutely.
Get? How upset can a koala get? Honestly.
So, well, the question is really. How much can a koala bear? You know, but they are, don't you? I do. They're as I said, they are marsupials. So they're not bears, but there's a couple of solutions to that, and I actually had that same issue in an airport. Where was it? I think it was might have been Thessaloniki Airport, but I've seen this happen a couple of times where there is you've got the, you know, there's places where people can go and
charge up.
Yeah, you can plug in, charge up, and that sort of thing. And so you have someone that comes in and who, like me, has a couple of devices, and they go, all right, I'm going to plug everything in.
I have now capitalized on this whole charging station.
That's exactly right. So that's actually where my, like, my little external, like, my travel adapter comes in. Because that not only has two external charging points on it, but it also has the barrel where you can plug into. So therefore, effectively, it has three areas to plug into if you've got, like, you know, a single charging point. So, I, you know, there's been times before where I've plugged in, I've plugged my device in, and then someone's come in and actually plugged their charging, like their actual, you know, AC charging plug into the back, like into my adapter. So doing something like that, then kind of that makes that a little bit easier, because then you're not taking up, you know, one, like you can actually effectively share that port. I also have that I've used. I've got what I call Megaboard, which is my nickname for my I've got a 6-port power board, which is a universal power board. So it's got obviously not a universal plug to plug into the wall, but that again, that's where the travel adapter comes into. But the other 6 ports will actually take any plug in the world.
Wow!
From a power point of view. So last week at the MCT summit in Europe, there was you know, obviously people from all over Europe, and even in Europe, there's different standards for plugging, and you know, all these people are trying to plug in their laptop. And again, it was single use. You know, you've got one wall adapter or one wall plug, and all these people going, oh, I need to charge my laptop. So what I did was I went and grabbed Megaboard, and started off, it was just myself and one other person. But by the time we got to like the morning tea, everyone had plugged it. Like there were six different devices plugged into to charging up. So I, as I said, I travel with something like that, which then makes it a little bit easier to share those resources. It's a nice way of meeting people as well. You know, if you're lonely, that sort of thing.
Oh, so pretty much any time you travel is what you're saying.
Yes. Apart from when I travel with my family, I should correct.
Yes. I'm very grateful, because I remember it wasn't that long ago, even like a couple of years before whether it was paid vendors or the airlines realized they need to put these charging stations like in their airports.
Yes.
It was always funny. You could tell the business travelers, right? Because they'd be walking down the hallway, scanned, their heads were like on a swivel, trying to find a wall port anywhere. And they're just sitting on concrete anywhere.
Yes.
There's a wall plug. I can plug in. I don't care if I got 4 hours. I don't care if I'm sitting on concrete. There's a PowerPoint. Yay.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. And now, I do have to confess that...
I still do that when I travel.
I do, too. I'm still looking for a seat next to a plug, is what I'm usually looking for at this juncture.
I can drag a chair to the plug. I don't care.
One thing that I can say is that you do have to take a little bit of that Louis C.K. attitude of, dude, this didn't exist 2 years ago. You didn't have power on a plane. You didn't have Wi-Fi on a plane. You know, you were working on PowerPoint slides, but they were not on Office 365 because you weren't connected to the cloud. Or if you were, it was very, very intermittent. But I do have to ask, is there now, I know that there are attempts being made at this, but is there now... Are there now restrictions on international flights where some types of devices are not being allowed?
Not out of New Zealand yet.
So, and not out of Australia, but they are talking about actually implementing that, the device restriction. So you mean like the basically anything larger than a... Well, anything electronic, so anything that's larger than a phone. There's not. I actually was a little bit concerned that might come in while I was traveling through Dubai, because Dubai is one of the airports currently that are affected by that. If you are on a direct flight from Dubai to the US or to London, to the UK, you'll be affected by that. You have to check in your laptop or actually anything. It's basically tablet size and above. So anything will need to be checked in. There is talk, I believe, that in the US that is going to be expanded to any overseas port that's coming from. So.
Yeah, that's going to cause some real issues. It was interesting because I was reading a few articles around this. I know just for myself, I'm like, oh, that would really suck. Because I know, like, in my case, like, my travel insurance doesn't cover my laptop if I put it in my checked-in bags.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, they don't really want those batteries in checked bags either.
No, which then means, so what that would do, exactly. So from my perspective, I'm going, well, wait a minute. Because, I've read things about theft because, yeah, if all of a sudden I know there's all these laptops in bags, theft of those things is going to go through the roof. Insurance companies don't like it, and like the planes don't want it either, which basically means what's going to happen is they're going to say, sorry, no laptops at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine if I'm on vacation. I can live with that. But, you know, when I come over for conferences and things like that, if I'm coming over for a week or a couple of weeks to go to a tech conference, I kind of need my laptop. Especially when you're dealing with things like, tablets and things like that you can't remove the batteries from. You know, so you're seeing more and more of that kind of stuff. I kind of understand why they think they want to do that, but I think there's a lot of parties that are kind of going, well, wait a minute. Think of business travelers from the U.S. Think of it from an enterprise scale. Okay, so, you know, I'm large multinational company A. I have someone in my New York office who needs to fly to London or needs to go to Madrid or whatever, and all of a sudden they won't be able to take their laptop with them. That means I have to find solutions for that as an organization. So how do they work, you know, how do they work when they get to where they're supposed to go? I don't know that there's a lot of that kind of stuff that no one has really fully thought through, and we don't. Well, I'm sure somebody has, but publicly, you haven't really seen anything in that space to tell you how do we deal with that and what's going to have to happen. And I don't think that's, if it does happen on that scale, I think those are things you're going to have to start looking at.
So here's my theory. My theory is this. I have a couple of things with this. One is that I think it's going to give rise to people that offer rental laptops, when you land into the US or land into the UK or whatever, there's going to be a you land, you go to the place where you would normally, you know, say for instance, you might go and get a local SIM card. Instead, there's going to be a place to rent laptops.
Yes, and I believe my evil laugh still stands, because that is an ingenious way to make money in this day and age, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, the other thing that's going to give rise to is that's going to give rise to cloud services, because you don't want to have anything resident on the laptop. Mm-hmm. So therefore, there's going to be more use of things like, say, for instance, the Office 365, OneDrive for business, that sort of thing. So therefore, you don't actually have to have anything on the laptop, or remote desktop services. So you can have, you know, a desktop that either lives in the cloud or alternatively lives in a data center somewhere.
Windows S.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm not letting that topic slide.
So, and then the third thing is that it's then going to make really legitimate things like, say, for instance, Continuum and the Android, like the Samsung version of that.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have to take a laptop with me. I can take my phone and a docking station and, you know, an external mouse and keyboard. And then I have to have a monitor I'm plugging into. Now, I'm not sure if, say, for instance, the like the Lenovo or Asus external monitors, I don't know how they'll go into those docking stations. But, you know, effectively, that means that you don't have to check in a laptop computer.
Correct.
So, and also, just on notes to travel to the US, that also then means that you've got less that's actually resident on the machine as you go through, you know, go across the border. Because one of the things that's happened of late is that the US have changed their rules with regards to requesting things like passwords, access to people's desktops, access to people's laptops, I should say, and their phones. So, like, part of – I had to fill out a I had to renew my ESTA, so my electronic system for travel authorization form just recently. And part of that was now asking for things like, say, for instance, social media accounts. And my understanding is that part of the rules now is that that as you go through across the border, that Homeland Security actually can ask for the passwords for those things as well. So, you know, the less you have resident on your machine, the less there is that you know can be potentially, you know, seen by other folk. Now, that's — I'm not saying that seen by other folk because it's necessarily bad stuff, but it could just simply be, like, there was a case where the guy from NASA handed over a laptop, you know, and on there were, you know, things that were secret and top secret type information. So
one thing is, we'll see how this plays out, because especially it's the account and password stuff. Because they're saying, oh, it's just social media. Well, okay, maybe it is, right? I there's really nothing on my Facebook profile and my stuff. You know, I don't like the idea of handing those passwords over to anyone, because it's not your account, and I don't think I qualify as a terrorist threat. Last time I checked, but, you know, having said that, so what happens when they decide for — and that's the problem, because when you're crossing the international borders and across any country, you have no rights. You know, and that's one of the things a lot of people mistake. They say, no, when you're trying to get into a country, they can put any restriction they want to. It doesn't matter what that country's constitution or laws are, because you're not in that country yet, and you're not in your own country.
You're in no man's land, essentially.
Yeah. So even if I don't have it on my device, they — okay, so yeah, let's have a look at your — I want your OneDrive. Log on. Yeah. I want you, you know, as an enterprise, as a business, that concerns me.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
Yep.
And you do wonder around, is that going to change for better, worse, different? I don't know. And is that going to have an impact? You know, because obviously at some point in time, companies are doing this anyway. Well, do I really need to fly Bob to X?
Yeah.
Just not worth the hassle anymore.
Yep.
Airlines will not be a fan of that.
No, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. So, like, it's the changing world in we live, obviously. But, yeah, it's just, we'll see how it all goes. Well, that's exactly right. How long it goes for, and you know, obviously, well, I mean, you know, I'm going to make the assumption that there was valid reasons for putting it in, for doing it. Like, you know, it wasn't just someone on a whim. You know, I give a certain amount of credit to places that maybe there was some consideration. It wasn't just, as I said, a whim to go through, but that you need to, we want to make sure that, like, sort of that as from a technology, we've got to deal with that. Like, you know, you can protest all you like, but, you know, at the end of the day, you have to deal with the cards you've dealt really. So, you know, I said, how do we kind of change what we do? So
I've got a couple of things that I want to talk about from a technology perspective, and one of those things has to do with our sponsor. So I want to save that for the end. We touched on something that I want to draw people's attention to. Kyle, you may remember, and James, maybe you have even heard in your — what I'm assuming is a glazed state while you're listening to Kyle and I drone on and on about various topics. One thing that I have always been a big proponent of is, let's turn our phone into a computer. So the whole concept of continuum. There was an interesting revelation within a month ago. I don't remember exactly how long ago it was. It might have been 6 weeks, but somewhere a month and a half. Samsung, for those of you who don't realize, it has a product that competes with Continuum for their Galaxy S7, S7 Plus. And it may even go back further than that. And Kyle, I depend on you for reference on that. But it is a competing product where you have a plug that goes from the phone to a, I'll call it a dock. Actually, I take that back. It isn't a plug that goes from the phone to the dock. It actually is a docking station. The phone fits in the docking station, plugs into the wall, and then plugs into a keyboard, a mouse, and a monitor. And it turns your laptop, or turns your phone into a sort of computer that runs Android. Now, this was interesting, and it was sort of just a side note, and I wouldn't have brought it up until they mentioned that the Lumia 950 devices that work with Continuum also work with this device from Samsung. So the docking station, you have to actually run a cord because it doesn't fit into the docking station proper. Although I think somebody said the 950 does, but the 950 XL doesn't. But you can actually use it for Continuum. So it serves two purposes, which I thought was an interesting technology note. And for those who haven't tried it, I have to say it's one of the coolest things that you can do, turning your phone into a computer, especially a Windows phone, because it does look and feel a lot like a real Windows device. It's not, but it does look and feel like a real Windows device. You know, it isn't like it isn't going to load up x86 games and things like that, or x64 games, or what is it? I forget what the designation is for the 64-bit. But it isn't going to do that kind of stuff. But it is going to do web browsing, email, the various Office apps and things like that. And it does them very well. It feels even, I mean, I put it up on a 4K monitor, and it looks and feels really, really close to an actual computing experience. Now, there are some things like, you know, multitasking and switching back and forth between, but as far as the keyboard, it works exactly the same and stuff. So I encourage people to check that out. The second piece of information, and this is where I'm going back to taking umbrage to you being called the gadget guy, which I regretfully will admit that you do have more gadgets and on a regular basis carry more gadgets, because I believe I've asked you, Kyle, do you have XYZ? And lo and behold, you have it with you. So, So I do have to admit defeat in the gadget guy-ness, but I still say that I do keep up on current technology quite a bit. And for $100, US dollars, there is a new player in the micro projector category. Now, I have a very small projector that I really like, but it's like a $300, $250, $300 item. But mine has a battery. This one doesn't. But there's a new player for $100 US or $99 US that shows up to a 200-inch screen. I'm trying to remember the lumen count. I think it was 600 or 900 lumens, so it's not in the 1000 category plus, but realistic low light level screen broadcast. It has all of the various things like smart card readers and HDMI and other VGA connectivity, but it's it fits in the palm of your hand, comes with a power adapter, and I was pretty impressed with this device. And then I went and looked on Amazon, and this is version 2, that is the $100 version. And I went on Amazon and found version 1 for $50, but it only did a 101-inch screen throw. So this one is a little bit bigger, twice the size, as far as the throw goes. Does up to 1080p, or 1080i, 1080p. And I thought it was a really good deal, and if I can remember to, I will try to put the link onto the chats, maybe in a tweet or something like that. But it's a very cool device. It's also bright yellow and white So it's a very pretty color.
So you can't lose it.
So you can't lose it. But I did. I thought it was a pretty unique thing. We've had this conversation before about having a spare projector with you. It's like I've never been in a class where it was the actual physical projector. It was almost always the projector bulb, but sometimes that was just as bad because getting a projector bulb replaced at a moment's notice was often a very expensive proposition and also a very time intensive thing. Getting one of the highest costs in a training room is that like projector bulb, and getting one overnighted was like guaranteed to throw the cost balance of the class out of whack completely. So having one, some sort of projector that you can carry quite easily is a handy little thing to have. So I will try to provide a link to it. I almost pulled the trigger on buying one, but because I like mine so much right now, I did not. So I might still do that. I might still do it before, Kyle, you and I visit again.
Quick question, Brian.
Yes.
This sounds like a really great projector, and until you get that link up, could you perhaps tell our wonderful listener the name of said projector?
I could. I'm not sure I'm going to. No.
Right.
Now, I do have to caution that I am not giving this the Brian Bork seal of approval I haven't tested it out, so I don't want to.
It looks interesting. Yes. You're intrigued.
I'm intrigued, but I haven't done any testing here. Hold on.
So if someone gets it and they don't like it, it is entirely your fault, is basically what you're saying.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. So, like, yeah, like, I'm glad we're on the same page there.
Well, I'm so glad that you guys are, you know, on the same page with me. That's very nice of you. It's so rare. I'm almost flabbergasted. So I'm trying to find the name brand. And again, this is a kind of a difficult one to find because it's resold under many different names. Like right now I'm seeing one here called Intertech, which is one version of it, and I can't guarantee that. Like I said, I'm pretty sure this is the version one of it that I saw, not the version two, because it only says 100 inch throw. But I want to say it's something like Dupuis or something like that was the name brand that I saw. So I don't have the link right here. Dupuis, that was what it was. Dupuis LED LCD projector, and it's version 2. Yeah, so it's a very interesting product. It intrigued me, and it intrigued me enough that, and of course, upset me enough because Kyle was called the gadget guy, that I had to bring it up. Now, I don't normally like to reserve time to let our sponsor sort of brag about its product, but in this particular case, there's something so intrinsic about a new feature that was provided that and is so trainer specific that I really have to mention this because Kyle, you may be aware, and James, you may not even be aware of this yet. There's a brand new feature in the Learn On Demand Systems interface that now allows trainers to be able to send notifications directly into the lab interface of their students. And you may be saying, Brian, we've been able to talk to our students for ages. Yes, but not directly in the lab interface. So there's a new feature that allows you from your class monitoring, if you're in there and monitoring your class and seeing how they're doing, please check out learnondemandsystems.com if you want more information about how you do this. If you're monitoring their page, you can click on send notification, and it will send a notification to every single person in your class, and it pops up inside of their lab interface. Instead of requiring you to share files and things like that, you can actually send notifications, and it keeps track of those notifications for both you and the students. So it's very, very cool. Like I said, I don't normally hawk Learn On Demand Systems wares, but I do want to say this one was enough of a trainer thing that I thought it warranted a good mention.
That is a cool trainer thing. I just sent a notification to my students this week.
Did you?
I just did, yes.
Okay. And now you're not just saying that, right?
No. Okay. I'm using a Learn On Demand's lab for a class I'm teaching this week, and I had not noticed that send notifications at the top of the monitor page. It's interesting because I noticed in the labs themselves, there's the little icon to show you that you've got notifications.
Yes.
It's all been grayed out, and I kind of went, what's that all about? Now I know.
Now you
Thank you very much, Brian.
You're welcome. See, I have solved problems.
And caused some. But
now everybody, our one listener is going to stop listening because we've sold out. We've gone commercial.
Okay, Brian's mom, it's all right.
That's right.
Hey, I was not raised by Wayne. So
that sounds like the weirdest origin story of a superhero ever.
yes, it Raised. Would be a very weird origin story. Well, gentlemen, I do want to be mindful of everybody's time. And I do know that we're going to lose Mr. Finley. And let's face it, he's been the exciting part of this conversation. So why don't we do some housekeeping and then we'll let our listener and our presenters get on their merry way.
Sure. So why don't we do that? So, of course, as Brian has mentioned, our wonderful sponsor, Learn On Demand Systems, which you can get to at learnondemandsystems.com. The podcast you can get access to the podcast and download download those as fast as Mr. Finley actually processes them through, which is much faster than how fast Brian and I used to do on our own. So that's trainertechtalk.net. Otherwise, you can reach us on Twitter at TuesdayTTT is our Twitter account, or you can reach myself at Windows PC Guy. Brian is Brian Bork LODS.
Yes.
Look at that. And Mr. Finley is Jay Finley NZ.
Yep.
Look at that. I got it right. Oh, sorry. Just to translate it for Brian, James Finley NZ.
J Finley NZ.
That's right. So, that's yes. Right. That's now it's become much clearer. You were wondering what the Z was.
I was. I thought I was going to have to type a foreign word there. And
that's right. Or that's
for me to do that.
Or start quoting from Pulp Fiction.
That's right.
Dead baby.
That's dead.
Wait. I do not want to pay royalties to Quentin Tarantino. We've got to be careful.
And I have just found my soundtrack music for this one.
Now it's going to make sense. You see, it's sort of like a David Lynch thing. We're coming back around at the end.
If we start having to record us speaking backwards and then playing it the other sense. Way around, I think something's going to go horribly wrong then. Even more so than normal. So, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time and for joining us. It's been a surprisingly productive episode. Thank you very much to all of our listeners for joining.
And hi, Wayne. Hi, Brian's mom.
And Glenn Morris is probably
hi, Glenn.
As well. He's in Munich at the moment, so he may be listening to us in between pints of beer and pretzels.
Good talk, Glenn.
So thank you very much for everyone. As always, this has been a Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday, unless you didn't really enjoy it, in which case, thank you for listening. Tuning in again for another episode of Patch and Switch.